Psalm 145. And it says this: I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. I wonder if I were to ask you what brought you here, you'd immediately probably be thinking about this morning, in which case you'd be thinking about a car or maybe your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad. But actually, what brought you to become part of this fellowship when you did? Whether that was 40 years ago or more for some, whether it was just this year for many of us. What brought you here? What was it that attracted you to come to this particular fellowship in this particular town? The great thing is that actually, as we read Psalm 145, there's a clue, I think, as to what makes this church the church it is. You see, verse 4 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Isaac stood here and said about the work of people that had gone before. I can't remember which scientist it was who said that his science was, basically, he was standing on the shoulders of giants. Can anyone let me know who that was? Was that Einstein or Newton? There we go. So Newton said his work was merely him standing on the shoulders of giants. What we do in this church is because we stand on the shoulders of people that have gone before, generations that have gone before, who have loved God passionately and loved Nuneaton with the same compassion that God has for it. We've all got different stories, different aspects in our life where we have been brought either to faith, specifically in Christ, or to this place, more specifically, through the things that other generations have done. But all of it has been to prepare the way. So when we think this morning and looking back over the last year and ready to look out at the year to come, One of the things that I wanted to just kind of try to illustrate are the things that stand in the way of others encountering the love of Christ. And so you may have noticed that our cross is obscured this morning. It's obscured by a wall of suffering. And it's quite simply this, that actually it's far, far easier to speak of the love of Christ to a person you have just fed than to someone who's still hungry after you've finished the conversation and gone your separate ways. It's far, far easier for us to share the gospel of Christ with someone who we have helped and demonstrated the love of Christ to, rather than just telling them about it and then walking away and leaving them in the position and the situation they find themselves in. At MCBC, we deal with poverty through the work of CAP. We are dealing with poverty all the time, taking away people's debts, helping them out of situations where they have been held down as in poverty. We deal with loneliness. We deal with loneliness through sow and grow and pastoral issues like that. We love people. We bring them in. We do stuff with them. We make a home for them here. We deal with isolation as people have got older, as people have moved, become more housebound and less able to join us. We still reach out and love them. We still visit them. We have so many people here that regularly visit people that, there's some people I have never seen in this building. In fact, there's one person I can name who I've never yet met. But I know that that person's visited every week by someone. We are a church that deals with isolation and addresses that. There are those people that feel that they're not supported, that maybe they need a bit more help in their life. People like young mums who, although we live in a town where in theory things should be catered for them very well, because we've seen the gradual atrophy of childcare and family support, things like Little Treasures becomes an important aspect of the work that we do here. With the removal of various children's centres, the provision for kids in this area has diminished. And so when we introduced things like Cinema Club, although it's not been the success that we believed it was going to be, but I believe that's because maybe we've done it slightly wrong and we're going to be looking in the new year at how we can do it better. What we are doing is we are trying to address the lack of provision for the children in the area. There are people that feel let down by others. Children that perhaps have been let down by the system or perhaps let down by their own families. The work of TLG seeks to address that. The work of TLG seeks to reach into the lives of those children that feel let down and to show them that someone cares, someone loves them, that someone will stand with them every week, that they will be there for them. And where this is happening, it's making a world of difference in every child's life. Homelessness. We deal with that. We are helping with the work of Winter Night Shelter. We're working with Food Bank. And I know that Carol and the gang at Food Bank, what have you, are always doing more above and beyond just handing out food parcels. But actually they're helping get people onto the housing ladder. They're trying to find flats for them, they're trying to get them sorted. It's not just putting food in their bellies, but helping them off the streets. Sickness. Do you know what? This is a contentious one for some. We have seen people healed in this church. Alan, he's not here this week. Alan can hear. He was born profoundly deaf and spent the first 60-something years of his life profoundly deaf. And now he can hear because he received healing from God in this place. We have seen Stuart, wherever he is. The problem with it, where is he? He's gone. Stuart with his back. One day, crippling pain in his back. And the next day he was off crutches and walking. And although he's got other issues, that back issue has never come back. We have seen people healed. We believe that the kingdom of God breaks through in cases where there is sickness, and we bring healing in the name of Christ. Hunger, what we said about hunger with regard to food bank. And thank you. So we've spoken about food bank and hunger already. Isolation, once again, we've mentioned that in things like our pastoral care and the visiting that goes on. Loneliness, once again, that's addressed by those people that go out and visit the housebound and the infirmed and the elderly. There's a loss of community. In society, one of the things that most sociologists will tell us is that society is crumbling because it's lost its feeling of community. We here are not just a faith family, although we are. You are all brothers and sisters of mine in Christ, whether you like the fact I'm your brother or not. We are brothers and sisters. But more importantly, we are a community into which everybody is welcome. And it's when people come in through those doors and they meet with us and they realize that they are welcome and they realize that they are loved regardless, that's when community starts to flourish again. One of the issues in society now is that of addiction. And although, once again, because of various difficulties, the Fresh Start program has floundered a bit, Fresh Start is intended to reach those people who have a life-controlling habit and to break them free from it. We are prepared to journey with, work with, and love those people who are currently trapped in addiction. This is something that this church is already doing. And finally, the thing that seems to damage most people's opinion of church is that we are divided, that there is so many arguments going on between one denomination and another, between one country's view of Christianity and another. But actually, that's where I wanted to just spend a bit of time, because we do all these other things, and I really want to congratulate everybody who, in fact, if you are involved in any of the ministries I've listed, would you, if you're able, just put your arm in the air. Just look around you and see those ministries. Yeah? And but actually, more importantly, if you haven't put your arm up, I'll be coming to you in a moment. When Roger and Isaac spoke about prayer walking, the important thing for me is that actually we are bringing the kingdom of God into this town. We are seeing it come. And one of the ways we're seeing it come is what Roger said, that where prayer walking is happening, things are changing. When we started the prayer walking initiative, I don't know whether you read the news or not, but there was a moment where Catherine and I were a little concerned, because shortly after launching the prayer walking initiative, we saw a rise in the number of seizures of weapons in Nuneaton. And you could see that as going, oh no, the amount of weapons that there are in the streets. But actually, when we started praying, there were fewer weapons in the streets because they were seized by the police. We started to see stuff like that happening. When we were handing out mince pies just before Christmas in the streets in town this year, this year, we noticed a change in the demeanor of people. Yeah, there were still some that didn't want to know, but actually the number of people that were really pleased to see us, wanted to stop and have a chat, were asking which churches were involved in this, were excited to see the churches working together. We are prayer walking this town, and we are seeing things soften in the name of Christ. We're not the only ones that are prayer walking, by the way. There are others. The Salvation Army regularly prayer walk, and we are talking about a prayer walking initiative with the Saints Project. We are going to see this town transformed in the name of Christ, but it starts with prayer. And actually, when Catherine and I first came to this town, we saw the Ritz, and we so desperately wanted to see that building used for Christ. And we started praying. I think I've shared this with you before now. We started praying that the Ritz would come into our ownership. Well, around about the same time as we were praying hard for the Ritz, other people in the town were praying hard for other buildings. And so when we meet every week with the clergy of the town, and we pray together and we discuss different things, and the clergy in the town are working closer and closer together to eliminate this view of a divided church, suddenly it became apparent that different churches had their hearts on owning a building, taking over a building, a high-profile building, and turning it into something to be used for the kingdom. We wanted the Ritz. The Salvation Army wanted the council offices, and the All Saints had their eye on St. George's Hall. I'll let you guess who won. I've already told them that we're going to still keep praying for the Ritz. I think the Ritz is Project Phase 2. But actually, the Saints project that has now been launched in St. George's Hall is going to be a remarkable beacon of hope for the town. Can I just have the display, please? So I don't know whether many of you went into the Ritz when it was dusty, dank, dirty, an ex-nightclub, but this is what it looks like now. So behind that glass partition is going to be the learning zone. That's where there's going to be meetings and classes run and adult education. The rest of it is going to be a general cafeteria area, but where you can see, where are we? So there are tables dotted around. Some of them are meeting tables, some of them are tables for us to have coffee at, but there will be some that are being run as a stall for new businesses to start selling their wares at a low rental so they can be lifted out of poverty. So in everything that Saints is doing, it's directed at improving the lives of those people living in Nuneaton. I think, for those of you who saw it before, don't you think that is a dramatic transformation? I think it's an amazing transformation. And here's the promise. I believe that the transformation that happened inside the building is available to us in Nuneaton outside the building. That in the name of Christ, we can see the town transformed in just that same way. We can see hope breaking in where there's despair. We can see promise breaking in where there's just nothing. We can see love breaking out where there's hatred. We can see peace breaking out where there's crime. All in the name of Christ. On the 8th of January, which is a very, very good day, it's my birthday. But on the 8th of January, we have like the soft launch of Saints. But actually, what day was it again? The 24th? On the 24th, there's going to be an open evening. So in the afternoon, we're opening Saints for local businesses to come along and have a look. We're going to be touting our wares a bit. We're going to be showing our sponsors and those people that have partnered with us to invest in the property what we've done. But then in the evening, there will be an opportunity for ecumenical worship to take place in the building. We're going to start off downstairs where it looks beautiful, and then we're going to finish upstairs where it looks all dusty and horrible still. And we're going to lift the roof off with worship. I want to invite you now to keep that day free, to plan your evening to be spent at Saints, to worship the living Christ who loves this town and wants to see us as the churches in this town working together. The perception of a divided church keeps people from walking through the doors of any of them. But the churches in Nuneaton are working together. The clergy in Nuneaton are praying together, socializing together, laughing together. We are taking this kingdom business seriously. And we want our churches to do the same. So here we are on the cusp of a new year. And so what we just want to do is if I'd been really clever, I'd have prepared some music for this next bit, but I wasn't. But what I want us to do is we've got a map somewhere. Where are we? Oh, yeah, there. I even put it up there. So we've got a map of Nuneaton there. I just want you to kind of look at it. If you look carefully, you'll see a green circle that's half a mile in radius based on this church. And then if you look, there's a wider 1 mile circle in red or pink, and that's still centered on this church. I want you to have a look at that map. On the table in front of it, there are the names of the streets within the half a mile region mainly, isn't it? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take a street name. There's two of each street name. I'd like you to take a prayer card. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take a street name and I'd like you to go home and or we can lend you a Pritt stick here if necessary, or a pen, whatever it is. You take that street name and you put it where the dots are on the prayer card and you commit this year to pray for that street. I mean, obviously, I want you to pray for other things as well. So it's to pray for that street as well as all the other things you're praying for this year. But I want us to commit as a church to start, not just when it comes round on the rotor, on the news sheet, but actually every day throughout the year, we can say that the streets in this area are being prayed for by someone in this church. We have seen things happen as a consequence of prayer. We know that prayer works. So let's commit to that. So what I'd like us to do is to sign, you know, while you're there, here's the next bit. We've got some sign-up sheets for prayer walkers, for the prayer ministry team in to operate in this church, for refreshments, for welcome, for sound and projection. Right now, what's going to happen is when you put your name down, because of course you're going to, when you put your name down to sign up for one of these ministries, we won't have forgotten you, the fact that we haven't immediately put you on a rotor. Everybody involved with welcome, whether they are currently doing welcome or they are fresh to it, will do training. Anybody not doing the training won't be doing the welcome. Anybody new to sound will be trained, and the training will be repeated for those who are currently using the sound desk. Anybody not doing the training won't be doing the sound. Okay? I'm not being, you know, draconian about this. It's just actually this is a way of ensuring that the pattern we want for things to happen will be rolled out. I think with regard to welcome, I'll just share this so that you know why. And I've shared this before, so you'll have heard this before. The very best welcome we have ever had. We walked into a church we'd never been to before. The church warden welcomed us very warmly, asked us, you know, why we were there, where we'd come from, a bit about ourselves. It wasn't an interrogation, it was a lovely conversation. We went and we sat down, they took us to the door, they said, you're welcome to sit anywhere, the toilets are over there, there's coffee available here. They let us know exactly what was going to happen in the service. There was no surprises. And then the pastor came in, and the pastor walked down the front and he put his Bible on the chair, and the church warden met him, and they stood and they talked, and then they turned and faced the congregation, and the church warden pointed out the visitors in the congregation. And the pastor was then able to come over and greet every single person. And he came over and he greeted us, and he knew who we were, and he knew where we were from. And he was able to greet us and welcome us warmly to that church. That, brothers and sisters, is what a welcoming church is. We are so close to that. So don't feel put down. All right? I have a secret worshiper here this morning who's already said that you're wonderful. All right? I'm going to put him straight. But he's already said you're wonderful. Okay? So this is about raising our game. So that as people come in, they immediately know they're loved. They immediately know they're welcomed. They immediately know that this is a place they can call home. Yes? So what I'd love you to do is, and we'll put some music on for 5 minutes. We'll find something. Have we got something over there we can play? Smashing. We'll put some music on, and what I'd love you to do is just to come down here, like, you know, one or two tables at a time, because otherwise it's going to get crazy. And sign up for praying for a street, and then consider putting your name down on the list for the different ministries that we're looking to recruit for. We will train you. If you're not sure if you know how to do it, don't worry, we will train you. And just to encourage you with regard to the prayer walking thing, going back to that for a second, when we're talking about the power of prayer, one of the things that many of you will know I've had a heart for is healing and hoping eventually to get healing on the streets going, yes? And we couldn't do it just as a church here. It's very labor intensive, and we wanted all the churches to be involved in this. As we have been praying for this kind of ministry to take place in the town, the Saints Project has asked me, as part of the steering group, to oversee a particular area of their ministry in the town. They have asked me to oversee prayer and healing prayer in the town of Nuneaton, okay? Prayer works. And now that they've asked me to deal with this, we can expect to see healing breaking out in the town, because we're going to do it, okay? So if you're interested in that, I want you to watch this space, because we are going to see prayer like never before in the town of Nuneaton. And it will be in the name of Christ. Amen? Amen. So before we sing our final hymn and go our separate ways for this year, just in the way that we broke down the boxes and made the way to the cross clear, we may sometimes think that that's foolishness. We might think that actually we can't do it all on our own. We can't make a big enough difference. But with God, of course, anything is possible. And so what is foolishness for man is wisdom for God. And so that's why we're talking about prayer, because without prayer, we don't... Prayer, what was it Spurgeon said? Prayer is the sinew that operates the muscle of God. And so without prayer, we can't expect to see God working. But with prayer, everything we're currently doing, all the things that we are doing in the community already to break down the wall that stands between other people and God, with prayer, we can see greater things happen still. And so it was with that idea of foolishness in mind that I found just the most incredible benediction, a Franciscan benediction, that is my prayer for us in the coming year. So this year, may God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe we can make a difference in the world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen. Oh, and Happy New Year, everybody.